Our Twit News special comes to you from Twit's LastPass Studios. Securing every access point in your company doesn't have to be a challenge. LastPass unifies access and authentication to make securing your employees simple and secure. Check out LastPass.com/twit to learn more.
Podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
This is Twit News Special number 353 for Monday, April 27th, 2020. DJI, up your game. This Twit News Special is brought to you by LastPass. LastPass manages every entry point to your business, so you can mitigate risk whether you're working in the office or remotely. No matter where your employees are, LastPass helps you keep peace of mind. Visit LastPass.com/twit to find out how they can help you. Welcome to our Twit Live News. Usually we're not here at 6:30 Pacific, 9:30 Eastern in the evening, but DJI's having an event, and we thought nobody better to have on. Well, actually, we asked the Quad Father, Father Robert Ballester, but since it's 4 in the morning in Rome and he had a 6 a.m. meeting, he declined. But fortunately, we have a heck of a drone expert with us for this announcement. It's Ray Maxwell. You may remember from Maxwell's House. We just did a hands-on tech with him because he's got a Mac Pro. He also has more than a few drones. In fact, shoots video commercially for people. Hello, Ray.
Hi there, Leo. How are you doing?
Great to see you. Welcome. How many DJI drones do you have?
I have four. I have an original Phantom. Yeah. I have an Inspire 1, an Inspire 2 with the X7 camera, and I have the Mavic Pro as a backup unit.
So there have been rumors about this, that there might be a successor to the Mavic Air, which I liked a lot. That was their relatively inexpensive but very capable drone. That's the one I flew into the Caribbean, my last drone. And it's been a couple of years since they updated that. The rumor was it would be a $700 Mavic Air 2, but we don't know. No. All we know is that it starts in about half a minute, and that DJI's stream is available at their site, but we can also watch it together and get some commentary on it. And I see the title is Up Your Game. Is it a game? I don't know.
Who knows?
DJI is a Chinese company, and of course, they really come to dominate the drone business. There are quite a few quadcopters out there. In fact, they weren't even the first kind of consumer-y quadcopter. Remember, Parrot AR, a French company, showed those at CES maybe 10 years ago. It's been quite a while. And those you could fly with your phone. A lot of the technology that these quadcopters use, I'm going to call it a quadcopter. A drone doesn't seem quite the right terminology. Ray, do you agree or disagree?
No, well, I agree. The people who fly them and the model airplaners all hate the term drone. You know, they'd rather be more specific and call it a quad.
A drone is any unmanned aircraft. I always, when I hear drone, I think more of the cruise missiles and the drones used for warfare than anything else. We're trying to get the video up. We just got a 404 on it. Try their YouTube live channel, John, because maybe we'll be able to see it there. They may also be having a difficulty, as many people are these days, with live streams. There was a Sondheim 90th birthday celebration with Bernadette Peters and lots of singers, and it was delayed by an hour a couple of months ago. Yeah.
It is a Mavic Air 2.
It is an Air 2, as rumored.
Yeah. I just clicked on Learn More, and now I've got a button that says Watch Video.
So let's go back to the DJI site, John, then. Maybe we can get that back up.
This is Mavic Air 2.
Yeah.
You may have some questions.
Yeah, they're... where's the sound?
I hear the.
Yeah.
So
I'm going to turn it down.
Click the Learn More there, John, on that. No, back to where you were. Learn More. Or just click it. Click it.
And then there's a video button.
And then there's a. And then. Is that the live video, though?
No. This is a. It's just a. But it wasn't there a few minutes ago.
Right.
But I was told there'd be a live stream.
Well, me too. But I saw the words 8K show up there a moment ago. If that's the case in that small a drone, that's incredible. HDR video. Oh, my.
So you're seeing now some of the specs.
Yeah, 34-minute maximum flight time.
I don't see anything live going on right now. I'm on the DJI YouTube page.
I didn't find anything live either.
Yeah.
But here is a video, Active Track 3.0.
Let me show it because let me go look at their most recent videos. This is the Mavic Air 2. I'll play this.
There it is. That's it.
You may have some questions, like...
So what's different?
Well, let's start with the larger sensor. There's a lot more pixels, 48 megapixels to be exact, which means you can do this. And then shoot a hyperlapse in 8K.
So let me pause it a little bit while we're watching it and get your commentary as we go through this, Ray, because that may be all we've got. It may be that they aren't doing a live event. They just released it all. So 48 megapixels for stills, that's pretty high quality.
That's extremely high quality. You know, you're now up with the Canon 5D Mark IV, you know, 30
right.
megapixels.
Right.
And keep in mind that 2 or 3 years ago, DJI bought out Hasselblad,
wow.
a little camera manufacturer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mostly
and
known for their medium format cameras. And
that's
backs.
Correct. But now we're seeing Hasselblad technology appear in the drones and DJI drones.
I'm also seeing 8K and hyperlapse. Hyperlapse is what's the more normal term for it? Not slow-mo, it's speeded up. It's a stop action or stop motion. It says
right.
8K hyperlapse can only be used in free and waypoint modes. What? It's time-lapse. That's the word. Hyperlapse is the name that Facebook came up with, or was it Microsoft? Maybe it was Microsoft came up with, and then released a program called Hyperlapse. Mm-hmm. So let's watch a little
with
bit.
With Smart Photo, every shot is a masterpiece.
High dynamic range is pretty exciting. John, you want to pull up my video real quick? There we go.
Yeah, but photos aren't really my thing.
Don't worry. We've got you covered. It also does 4K 60p video. You can also
So when they say 8K, that's not 8K video. That's 8K hyperlapse and 8K
right.
stills. Still, 4K
and
notice, 60p is quite good.
Yeah, notice that they said that it was it's their pre-programmed mode, waypoint and stuff. Sounds to me like what they're doing is they're having it fly a certain path and it's going click, 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 and then it's putting together
stitching
a video.
Stitching it together, yeah.
Yeah.
You. What is the highest quality? You have a high-end quadcopter that you use for cinema and,
right.
shots.
Well,
what quality is that?
That's the X7 camera from DJI, and it is 6K video.
Okay.
So I shoot in 6K, and then when I edit, I bring it down to 4K.
So
and
this,
it gives me some room as well.
And it makes sense. They're not going to compete with their highest-end product. The rumor is this will be $799. Let's see.
Yeah.
Watch some more of this video, John.
Things down. Wait.
John, watch some more of this video. There we go.
And yes, there's HDR video.
How's the flight time?
It's fantastic. You're looking at up to 34 minutes in the air, a new record for the Mavic series.
How is that compared to, the Mavic Air was maybe 15 minutes, was half that probably.
No, it was over 20.
Okay.
I can't remember the exact number, but
okay.
it.
I never got more than a few minutes.
Well, they always said X number of minutes max.
Right.
You know, they always
right.
covered their backsides on that.
Right. Let's see a little bit more. It looks like in her hands is a controller using an iPhone or a smartphone.
Right.
And that's not anything new. In fact, I used to use an iPad, but they also had standalone controllers.
Yes.
2.0, so you can fly longer and...
Okay, let's go back and look at that. So it looks like they can transmit 10 kilometers and full high def over 10 kilometers. That's remarkable.
Which is ridiculous because you're breaking every law and nobody can see 10 kilometers.
You're supposed to keep it in sight.
You're supposed to be line of sight.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So absurd.
Okay. But it could if you had to. It could.
Longer and see clearer.
What if I'm not a great pilot?
I'm not.
That's where Focus Track comes in, so you can fly like a pro.
This was one of the things about the Mavic, the original Mavic Air, that I really liked was it had so much intelligence that in theory I couldn't crash it. I found a way, but in theory, and I practiced a lot, and I really did. It had homing, it had GPS. You could say come back to where you launched from. It was pretty good at stabilizing in high winds and other adverse conditions. It had collision detection. I can't remember if it was on all the way around 360 degree collision detection. I think it was only in front, right?
Don't ever fly backwards.
Yeah, okay.
When you back it up, I know from experience, you can hit something and crash it.
It's easy enough. All right.
Yeah. And now, flying forward, and it covered above it and in front of it.
It was pretty good, although I tried to stay away from any trees and things like that. What is POI 3.0? I see that now on the video.
Point of interest.
So you can set points of interest and it will go to them?
It will circle them. And keep them in view automatically.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And then tracking, which is awesome as well. If you're, and I always wanted to do this. The reason I lost my Mavic Air 1 on a boat is I was trying to track the catamaran as we sailed, but it hit a guy line and came down. But tracking, in theory, is a great idea. As you're bicycling or running or sailing, you can have it actively track the point.
What I always found unique in their technology, was that when you draw a little box on your monitor around what you want to track, and it identifies it. It'll say bicycle.
Yeah.
It'll say person.
Yeah.
You know, it car, you know, and then it will hold the camera on that. Now, there's two modes. You can have it fly the drone and hold the camera on the object, or you can have it hold the camera on the object and you fly the drone and the camera will stay locked on it. Now, in the case of the Mavic, you could only do that. It had to turn the machine to do that. In the case of the Inspire 2 and Inspire 1, well, the Inspire 2, it'll turn nothing but the camera. So in other words, you fly the drone in any direction, point it any way you want it.
And the camera pivots.
And the camera's hanging below it, and it can go 360.
That's very
cool. So it can stay on something no matter what you do.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
Okay, this is Active Track 3.0. Let's keep playing the video. This is all we've got. I guess they're not doing a live stream.
Here's the best part. Automatic obstacle avoidance.
Okay. But what do I do with all
these? I'm counting on that.
Here's an idea. Use the DJI Fly app to edit and share your moments with just a tap. So, what's different?
No one serious is going to do that. Oh, it folds up nicely like the original Mavic Air.
A whole lot.
All right. Up your game. That's the slogan. And we had hoped that to be a live stream. They have put out a lot of information. I mean, that's the good news if you go to the DJI website. Have you been perusing that, Ray, and looking for features?
Earlier, yes, but nothing was there until this very,
right.
I just stumbled on this video.
Yeah.
As we.
One half inch sensor. That's a pretty small sensor. Even my point and shoot Sony has a 1 inch sensor. So half an inch is a fairly small image sensor. And that, you can say 48 megapixels, but 48 megapixels and a half inch, it's not super quality. This is not going to compete
with
your high end.
No, you're down to the point where your pixel size is approaching a wavelength of light.
Yeah.
And you run into some, no dynamic range, no, you're on the edge of what physics, and your lens resolution. When you're near a wavelength of light, you can't, unless you illuminate your subject matter with gamma rays or something shorter wavelength. And most subjects object to gamma rays for some reason.
One reason that this whole category exists, I think you can thank the iPhone for it, because a lot of the technology in these things comes from, and initially the iPhone and now smartphones in general, China built up this huge capacity to make inexpensive accelerometers and lenses and all of the things that made quadcopters possible. And so yes. DJI very much benefits from that economy of scale. And so in some ways, you know, when I look at a half-inch image sensor, that's bigger than a smartphone. And given what they can do with computational photography on the Pixel 4, on the iPhone 11, you know, they're probably doing some sophisticated computational photography with this lens, I would guess.
Yes, I think so. You're right. I have an iPhone 11 Pro Max, and the camera in that and the processing is just incredible.
Yeah, and that's a much smaller sensor. That's a quarter
inch
or
less. Especially for video. But the Inspire 2, the high-end drone they sell, that camera has a Super 35 chip, you know, which is much larger.
Right. And again, I'm sure DJI is going to be at pains not to cannibalize their very profit. How much is that profitable high-end? That's $4,000, right? That the high-end DJI?
That's the drone with no camera.
That's without the camera alone. Okay.
Yeah.
Although they're starting to converge, the low end and the high end are getting closer and closer and closer.
If you do a full all-up Inspire 2 with the top camera, they make four beautiful lenses. I think Hasselblad made them.
Wow.
But they're all exactly the same weight and balance. They're dynamically balanced to suit the gimbal. I mean, they really did that. Again, it's an extremely well-integrated end-to-end system.
Yeah.
And any rate, you're over $10,000. You're up around $15,000 right. for the whole system.
And I think this is probably comparable to photography with an iPhone Pro Max and photography with a DSLR. With a Pro Max, there are people who make shots that make money. They can sell them. Friend Anthony Tortoriello, who is a very accomplished photographer, and one of his pictures of a sea turtle in Hawaii was featured on the Shot with iPhone campaign some years ago. He says he sold a $3,000 40-inch fine art print that he took with his Mavic Air 1. So it really is post-processing. It's the right shot at the right time. And I think a half-inch lens or a half-inch sensor, maybe more than enough. They're claiming 34-minute max flight time, 240-minute max remote controller battery life. I love it that they've got this DJI Mavic Air 2 over water, because that's where mine is. Well, mine's underwater. fly smarter and safer. APAS 3.0 obstacle avoidance. OcuSync 2.0 10-kilometer 1080p 30 frame per second video transmission. I think, you know, I bet you there is a market, more of a market now, for quadcopter photography because of quarantine than there was before. I'm seeing a lot of beautiful photography of empty streets and major cities, things like that. So let's now that we've seen some of the specs, and it looks a little bit like the original Mavic Air. It's got the same kind of folding design. Looks like it's about the same size. Let me just press that buy now button and see what we're going to be doing. $799 is the list. If you do the Fly More combo, which I've done in the past, you get extra batteries, you get bumpers, you get a few extra parts that come with it. You get a remote control. That's a couple of $100 more. I think, honestly, for somebody like me, having all those blades is worth it. It looks like it uses a micro SD card. They offer those for sale, and they offer additional batteries at $115 each. I bought the Fly More combo. Does that seem like, not of this, but of the original Mavic, does that seem like a good idea, Ray?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You're going to need all that stuff. You're going to do any serious work. Just for comparison, I looked it up. The full-up super combo with the Inspire 2, the X7 camera, they have a high-end controller instead of the regular controller. And they have a high-end 1,000-nit monitor. And if you buy all of those things, in other words, put together a suitable system for a movie set to work on, it's $20,000 US.
There's one more thing that I bought and it never used, but it seems like a good idea. They call it the DJI Refresh, and yes, it essentially is extended protection. In fact, had I didn't think about this, but had I, my son said when I dunked my original Mavic, he said, "Should I go get it?" And I said, "No, it's gone now." Had I retrieved it, I probably could have sent it in and had it refreshed because I had paid for the refresh. So I think that's probably a good idea if you're like me. And it's not expensive. The refresh is half off right now, $50 a year. So that's a pretty good deal. I paid $100 for it.
The collision avoidance, as you have tested, will not see a guy wire on a boat.
No.
And it even has little trouble with sparsely populated trees.
Yeah.
But it, as far as brick walls and signs and things like that, it works beautifully. I've tested.
It's good because I've flown many a drone, many a quadcopter into mountainsides, hillsides. I've flown, I had my very first one just went up and never came down. I don't know where it is. It might still be up there for all I know. So I am very attracted to the fact that they've got, and you clearly I'm not alone. They really push hard on these kind of self-flying capabilities, collision avoidance and return home and all of that stuff. I think those are good features to have, even if you're a proficient drone pilot like Ray Maxwell or Father Robert Ballas there. I'm very sorry, everybody. I had hoped that we would have a live stream. I think that was the impression anyway that I got from the DJI announcement. But I guess what happened is instead of doing a live stream, they just pushed out all the collateral material or the marketing material, the specs, all the information at the same time at 6:30. And that's that. So
yeah.
I'm sorry I got you out of bed, Ray.
I'm on the same time zone you are.
I know, I'm teasing you. Anything else that you thought was worth paying attention to? 3,500 milliamp hour battery, hovering accuracy range is plus or minus a tenth of a meter, which is pretty darn amazing. They say low noise. A lot of drones are pretty darn noisy. Have they been able to reduce the noise on these?
Yes. In fact, my Mavic Pro that I have as a backup unit has low noise propellers. They came out with these low noise propellers, and it cuts the sound level about in half. My Inspire 2 is considerably more noisy.
Interesting. Yeah. How do they make it a lower noise? Is it physics? Is it a better design? Is it a bigger blade?
It's the prop tips. If you look, I don't know whether I can get this.
Yeah, I see they're cut at an angle. They're kind of chamfered.
Yeah. Because what makes all the noise in propellers, and this is if you've ever been around float planes, and most float planes have a slightly larger diameter propeller than the land version of the same plane, and the prop tips break the sound barrier.
Ah.
And puts out a shock wave.
There you go. That's pretty noisy.
yeah. And
rotate at that plane. Kind of a speed?
Yeah. It's a scaled thing, but to be fair, the drones don't go at, the tip doesn't go at the sonic barrier, but in a normal, float plane, wow, they do. And when I would pull, I used to have a float plane, when I pulled back the RPM from 2850 to 2500, the sound level would drop to less than one third.
That's really interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
They do mention you can't use the goggles with these. There are people who use these drones for racing. It's very cool. And the VR goggles are probably a lot of fun, but they will not work with the Mavic Air 2. And I think they really are aiming this one at me. Is the Mavic Air 2 waterproof? No. there's a look at the camera. Unlike, it looks very similar to the camera, not only the camera on the Mavic Air 1, but also to the Osmo camera, the Osmo Mini
yes.
camera. And I imagine it's the same kind of gimbal technology on their that they sell on their Osmo cameras.
Yes, that would be my guess.
Yeah. They use a bear filter, a quad bear filter. I'm glad you're here, Ray, to explain what a bear filter does.
I don't know.
Oh, man, if you don't know. I do know that you can, it has something to do with Moiré, because I know that they remove the bear filter on the A7R.
Are you saying B-A-Y-E-R?
Yeah, like bear aspirin.
Oh, yeah. No, that's referring to the Bayer pattern of the red, green, and blue pixels. There's an arrangement of two green pixels for every one red and one green, because green gives you the luminance information. At any rate, you have to demosaic that.
Right.
And that's what they're talking about. Right. Yeah. Sorry, I misunderstood.
It's my American accent. I know it's confusing to you Canadians.
I'm a Missouri hillbilly.
Oh, that's right. You're from Missouri. That's right. The quad Bayer filter also contributes to stunning high-resolution images, they say.
Yeah. That's demosaicing the Bayer pattern of the RGB.
Interesting. It looks like they offer a flat color profile they call D-Cine-like. I don't know if that's like the S-Log that you can get on some of the higher-end video cameras.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what it is, that it's a log to give you a slightly more dynamic range.
You apply a lookup table to it to make it look to the human eye normal, but it gives you a broader range of colors and detail.
Right, higher dynamic range.
Right. H.265, I think that's a good choice on the video codec. That's the new high-efficiency video codec. Manual settings on the camera. Smart photo, they say. That's a feature that integrates HDR, Hyperlight, and scene recognition. So I guess that you probably... Do you shoot in auto when you use these, or do you prefer to set the settings yourself?
No, I shoot entirely... Well, again, I do most of my work with the Inspire 2, right, which lets me shoot in ProRes
camera.
Yeah, that lets me shoot in ProRes RAW.
Right.
So I'm shooting in RAW, and I manually control everything.
Right.
And...
But for doofuses like me, having automation is a really nice thing on these cameras. I'm having enough trouble keeping the thing from crashing into trees. I'm not sure I want to mess with the camera settings.
The automation is extremely good. The brains back to the iPhone 11 Pro Max and so forth. The cameras in these drones, They're incredible at getting the color temperature right, the exposure right, et cetera. Very, very good automation.
We've already sold two of them. This is not, we are not trying to raise money for public broadcasting or anything. But Anthony, Tortaloha in our chat room, Anthony Tortoriello, has already bought one, even though he bought a $3,000 quadcopter just a couple of months ago. An Edmonton Oiler guy. One of your compatriots has also purchased one. So there's obviously, they're clearly hit the right price point and feature set for people who are looking for something that is not super expensive, but is pretty capable. I think this is pretty impressive what they do. There's something called OcuSync, and they are now doing generation 2 of OcuSync, which supports both 2.4 gigahertz and 5.8 gigahertz, and does automatic frequency switching. This is how they're getting that 10-kilometer video transmission.
Yeah, that's the OcuSync is a downlink from the camera to the monitor that you're looking at.
Nice. So I'm impressed. I think this is. I think the price point is about right. Is this the same? I think it's the same as the Mavic Air. I think I paid $800 for that too. So it might be a little more expensive.
This is an extremely good system for the money.
Right.
This is one of the things that DJI does really well, is give you a fully integrated, again, like Apple, a fully integrated system that is well thought out. They're at a stage now, especially with Hasselblad behind them. They design the camera first, then they design the gimbal to suit the mechanical characteristics of the camera as far as mechanical dynamic stability. And then they design the aircraft to carry that. And then they design the downlink and so forth. But all I'm saying is they start at the right place, which is the camera. This, DJI's machines are not racing machines.
That's why no goggles.
Right. They are camera platforms.
Yeah.
I call mine the flying tripod because it can hold such a steady, beautiful video image.
Yeah. It really is amazing that you're just hovering there and you have such an incredible image. The other thing I think is very interesting, and I don't remember who had this insight, but I remember somebody saying, actually, I think it was David Pogue who said this. One of the reasons we love drones is because it gives us a perspective on our life, our town, where we are, that we very rarely see. You're a pilot. You're a glider pilot, so you probably do get to see a little bit of this, you know, bird's eye view. But even then, you're much higher up. These things are only 100 feet up, 50 feet up. And so that unique perspective, I think it's just, it's fascinating to us. It's beautiful. And it gives us a new way of looking with fresh eyes at something we see every day. And I think that's really one of the real reasons people love drones. Of course, there's so many things you can do with them. You're replacing very expensive helicopter shots with the drone photography you do.
I was going to say that's the business that's really been hit and hit hard is the aerial helicopter shooting.
Yeah.
Because you can do almost anything that you did with those with these drones and do it beautifully.
I have to say I'm starting to see more and more drone shots in television and film. And you can recognize them because, A, they're smoother than a helicopter. B, they're lower than a helicopter. And often the perspectives, Lisa and I will sometimes get in an argument. We had a little argument. We were watching 1917, which is kind of an amazing film from the cinematography perspective because it's all shot first person in what looks like a continuous shot. And Lisa said, that's a drone shot. That has to be a drone shot, particularly the one where he goes over a waterfall. You see him going over the waterfall, and then it pulls back. And, of course, it is a drone shot. I can't think of any other way you could shoot that unless you had a very, very big crane. And certainly they did have quite a few very big cranes. I want to take a little break to thank our sponsor. And when I come back, Ray, I want to talk about the legality, where you can use these, where you can't use them, what you need to know. If you're looking at this and saying, boy, $800, that might be kind of a fun thing to have while I'm in quarantine. But let's do that when we come back in just a second. We want to thank very heartily our friends at LastPass. Not only are we in the LastPass studios here at TWIT, but we also use LastPass. I've used LastPass for 10 years personally. We've used it at TWIT for several years. In fact, we started using it at TWIT because we had an engineer who made a public web page with all the passwords so he wouldn't forget them. And we realized, you know, every business is a little bit at risk if employees don't follow good procedure. And now you've got employees who are working from home. There's even less oversight. LastPass is ready, though, to help you with your remote workforce. They can easily transition you from in-office to in-home. Your IT team will still be the gatekeeper. And that's really important. I think probably if you're an IT person, you see all these people going out, laptops, desktops, home internet, and it must give you just the willies to think about, you know, the malware, the spear phishing attacks, the things that are, you know, they're there at home, not in the safe cocoon of your office. Well, LastPass lets IT remain in control over which employees are accessing which resources, and it doesn't matter where they're working. You'll get unified visibility over access, over authentication. The single sign-on is still a big part of this SSO. They have, I think, 1,200 XAML apps, which is really great because it's one of those interesting areas. And usually in security, it's either more convenient and less secure or less convenient and more secure. There's always that trade-off. SSO, no. Employees love it because they just say yes on their phone. They don't have to remember a password. They don't have to paste anything in. And they're logged in. You'll love it because it's actually more secure than passwords. And because LastPass offers multi-factor authentication, not just Touch ID or Face ID or fingerprint, but even additional authentication using IP addresses and geolocation, you know you always have the right people accessing it. The wrong people can never get in. LastPass offers also an offline mode for both password management and that multi-factor authentication. And a lot of times you send employees home. They have spotty Wi-Fi. They have spotty internet. Offline can be pretty important. It's easy for your team to collaborate, too, with LastPass. Coworkers are working remotely, but they can share passwords, stay in touch. The average business, this stat blows my mind, has 185 shared folders. We don't, because we have shared folders that's based on function. So there's an ops folder, a business office folder. There's an engineers folder. There's a hosts folder. And they share passwords in those folders. And it really organizes and controls access. It's so important. And by the way, I mentioned phishing schemes. LastPass will never auto-fill a password on a malicious site ever. So you know you're a lot safer. And if you're using a VPN, LastPass lets that VPN be even more secure with biometric multi-factor authentication. That's important, I think. All I can say is we're working from home. We're going to be doing this for a while. You better take LastPass along with you. Visit LastPass.com/twit for home, for office, personal, family, enterprise. LastPass is a solution for you. Find out more at LastPass.com/twit. And we really thank LastPass for supporting our live news broadcast. A little disappointed. I was hoping we'd have a live feed, somebody coming on stage, showing it. But thank goodness we have you, Ray, because you really are the expert on quadcopters. I know that probably Canadian regulations are different than U.S. regulations, but I do know there has been a lot more regulation. I know when I got my Mavic Air, the first one, I had to register it with the FAA. I put a registration number on it so that they, if they shoot it down, if it's doing something inappropriate, if they grab it, they can trace it back to me. And I think that's pretty important. It also has geofencing built in that keeps me from flying it near airports and other places that would be hazardous. But I also noticed that, at least in the U.S., the FAA reduced regulations for lighter drones. That they're only worried about the bigger ones, I guess, these days. Is it the same in Canada?
Oh. And it's very similar in the U.S. In Canada, if it's 250 grams and down, and you don't have to be licensed, and it doesn't have to be a certified drone or anything, but from 250 up to... Now I'm going to forget.
What's the heaviest drone out there?
there's still another. There's three classes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and so I'm in the middle class. I can't remember
so
now.
So there's recreational.
It's up to about 25 or 30 pounds, okay?
Okay.
So
that's
there's these little mini drones you can fly in your living room, you know, and so forth. And those don't have to be licensed. By the way, you can fly any drone indoors. No license, no nothing. That's fine. they just don't want you interfering in airspace.
Yeah.
Okay. So in Canada now, if you fly anything above 250 grams, you have to be licensed.
Interesting.
And your drone has to be certified for different kinds of flight. Now, all of my drones are certified to be flown in controlled airspace and near people, like on a movie set, okay? And I have what's called an advanced RPAS license, Remotely Piloted Aircraft Systems, RPAS. And there's a basic RPAS license, which you take all online, and right now you have, if you're going to fly your just for fun, you have to have an RPAS license in Canada now, the basic. If you're going to fly commercially, you have to have the advanced RPAS license, which I have. Anyway, the only exception to that is you can be a member of the Model Airplane Association of Canada. And if you only fly at those MAC-approved fields, you are exempt from the licensing.
I think okay. That's what also happened here, that the FAA heard from recreational flyers, modelers and so forth, and decided to provide for a little bit of an exemption for recreational flyers. I'm looking at the rule. They do want you to register your drone and mark it with a registration, carry your proof of registration. This is for people not doing video for realtors, not doing movie video. This is pure recreational. You have to stay below 400 feet when in uncontrolled Class G airspace. And if you want to fly in controlled airspace, you've got to get authorization, of course. Many drones won't even let you do that. Their geofencing will just, the drone won't go in.
Well, what you do in, and I think this is true in Canada and the U.S., I in my case, I go to Transport Canada. There's a website, and I fill out the flight that I want to do that's in controlled airspace.
Got it.
Okay. Then I get they give me an authorization. I pass that on to DJI. They have a website where I go.
Right.
And I pass on that I've been authorized to go and control airspace, and they turn off the geofencing in my machine.
Interesting. Yeah, because FAA has something they call the drone zone where you can go to register. This has obviously become quite a popular hobby. If you're more than 250 grams and less than 55 pounds or 25 kilograms in the U.S.
25 kilos, I knew that
was
it.
Yeah, so it's the same in the U.S. And, of course, you can't fly over people. You can't fly over vehicles. If you don't have lights on your drone, you're not supposed to fly at night. And you're never supposed to lose, as we talked about earlier, a visual line of sight.
Right.
In fact, if you want, you can have an observer who's standing next to you and in communication with you, but you do need to keep a line of sight for your drone. So
now, there's very many people think draconian regulation on being proposed by the FAA right now, and the whole model community is beside themselves.
Oh dear, yeah.
Let me back up the truck a second and point out that all of this was caused by disruptive technology, namely MEMS, gyros, and accelerometers. This allowed you to build a model that can almost fly itself. So it made the skill required much, much easier.
Yeah.
Now, before that time, if you bought a model airplane or a model helicopter, and you went to a model shop and you bought it, the guy selling it to you, if he was reputable, would tell you, now here are the clubs in your area. Go to these clubs and take lessons.
Right.
And they would teach you the culture and the safety and everything. Because if you didn't do that, and this is true, average lifespan of a model helicopter flown by someone who's never flown one is 30 seconds.
Yeah, that would be me. Well, until these self-flying, semi-autonomous drones came along, you didn't hear about disrupting air traffic. You did with these helicopters or model airplanes. You didn't hear about people flying over stadiums and taking pictures of soccer matches. You didn't hear of all the disruptive uses. That's really come as the masses have been able to fly. And you know what? It's really fun. I'm glad the FAA has rules. I'm also glad that they allow us to do it. Are they going to require training at some point? Do I have to go get training of any kind?
Well, for this basic license in Canada, you have to study for it. What they really teach you a lot about is airspace and how to read a map made for aviation and make sure you're not flying in controlled airspace. Now, the next thing they're proposing, and like I say, this is all caused by disruptive technology, they're adding more technology. The FAA right now is proposing that all model aircraft have a ADS-B beacon in them, which lets them be seen. ADS-B is mandatory in all aircraft now, okay?
Right.
And this lets you see all the aircraft around you and warn you. It's an anti-collision system.
Right.
And it essentially has a GPS in it. And it sends out on a special frequency your position, direction of flight, and speed. And then the algorithms in it picking it up from the receiving end of it picks up those things and calculates whether you're going to on an intercept course, a collision course. So they're now proposing that model aircraft have to have one of these. And we're talking about a $1,500 box. Okay.
Yikes.
And DJI certainly could put these in their drones, but it would jump the price by a considerable amount.
More than double it. At the same time, you want safety. We want our air lanes to be safe. And sad, irresponsible drone pilots have caused
some
problems.
You said that you never heard of this for model airplaners. And the reason was you had to join a club.
Right.
And when you joined the club, you joined the AMA in the U.S., American Modeler Association, or you joined MAC in Canada. And there was a safety culture inculcated in that group. But when you can go to the local drugstore and buy a drone, all of that went out the window because the people selling them don't know jack about them, you know.
Right. Right.
And so they're not going to say, by the way, I mean, I wonder right now, some of these places, if they ask you in Canada, for instance, where's your basic license or where's your advanced license, you know.
Right. Well, this DJI Mavic Air 2 announced tonight, available now for sale at $799, is 570 grams. So it's in the middle. It's neither so heavy that you have to get a special license, nor so light that you don't have to register it. So make sure you follow all rules. Be safety conscious. And you know what? It wouldn't hurt to get some lessons and join a club and become a more proficient pilot. I think it'd be a lot of fun. Obviously, it wouldn't be in person these days. So maybe you'll just be flying over your house. Ray Maxwell, what a pleasure to talk to you once again. Twice in a couple of weeks. This is pretty special now. I thank you for coming. I'm sorry we didn't have a live stream, but, man, I think this was actually better because we had a chance to see the product, talk about it, and get your thoughts. So thank you, Ray. I hope you have a safe and a wonderful evening, and I thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you, Leo.
I thank all of you, too. This was a TWiT News special, the announcement of the Mavic Air 2 from DJI. Thanks to our sponsor, LastPass. Thanks to all of you for joining us. I'll be back tomorrow. iOS Today, Mac Break Weekly, and Security Now. I'll see you then. Good night.